conference number has changed from 218-844-8230 to 712-432-0370. Please dial 712-432-0370 to join your conference. Please enter your... Welcome. This service is provided by FreeConferenceCall.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign.
Okay. Well.
Please enter your...
Great service, free conference call.
You entered 1028732. If this is correct, there is one other participant in this conference.
You get that.
Please announce yourself.
Get that, how you doing?
How's it going?
Hey. So what's going on?
Nothing new.
It's early there, huh?
Yeah. Not too early.
Okay.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Let me see that.
New
sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
New
sign,
yeah.
Alright.
Where is he right now?
New,
Seattle.
They changed the
Seattle.
When did that happen?
Yeah, they changed.
Did you know that, Sammy? They changed the number?
I didn't know that. I was wondering what they changed it to.
71 something, I don't know.
Great. Wait, it tells you that when you call
when
it?
When I called in, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So what we were up to is we were up to the Lama Dalai Lama's. Okay, so we were up to in the Rashba. I'm sorry, Lama Gimel Lama Dalai. The drusha on the Gemara of Lama Gimel Lama Dalai. Okay. I was here, Ken. I was waiting for you.
Oh.
At 5:50.
Must have just missed you.
Okay, so the Gemara is like this. The Gears is slightly different, I think, but we'll just stick with his Gears here. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gedola Deya Shenitna Bein Shnei Shemas. Okay, so Deya is great. Knowledge is great because it was given between two Shemos. Shenemar Kikel Deos Hashem. So it says Deya is in between two Shemos of Hashem. Kale Deos Hashem. I gotta follow. This is a little bit of a complicated thought that he works out of here. So that's one. That Gedola Deya Shenitna Bein Shnei Shemos. Shenema Kikel Deos Hashem. V'kol Adam She'ein Bo Das Osor L'Rachem Olav. It's an amazing statement. Any person who doesn't have Das, you're not allowed to have pity on them. You're not allowed to have Rachmanas on them. Shenemar ki lo am binosu. Because the Navi says, Hashem says about Klal Yisrael, they're not an am binos. Al kein lo yirachamenu oseyu. So since they're not a nation of, they don't have a bina, they don't have intelligence, al kein, that's why lo yirachamenu oseyu. That's why their maker does not have mercy on them. Okay, so those are the first two propositions. That Deya is great because it's given between two Shemos. And then what? That whoever doesn't have Das, it's also to have mercy on. V'omar Rabbi Elazar, Godol Mikdash, Shemitain Bein Shnei Shemos. The Mikdash is great because it's given between two names. Shenema Pulas Hashem Mikdash Hashem. So again, between Hashem and Hashem is Mikdash. Okay, The Amar Rabbi Elazar, the final step over here. Kol sheyesh bodeya ki ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yamot. Whoever has deya, it's as if the beis hamikdash was built in his day. Shedeya nitna bein shtei osios, because deya was given between two osios. Umikdash nitan bein shtei osios. Okay. So I guess the one that seems like just the added is the one about Rachmanis, right? Because the whole thing seems is just trying to set up this idea of Deya is between two OCOs and Mikdash is between two OCOs, and then that comparison that whoever has Deya is like the Beis HaMikdash with Nivna B'Yamav. Because both of them are between two osios.
And osios is a shame?
And osios means a shame of severe. Okay. But in the middle it says, the chol adam she'ein bo das, also rachim olav. Okay. So that's the statement from Rabbi Elazar. All right. Someone,
you
can move down here.
Someone,
where Abby go? He's still here. Yeah, he's here. Don't worry. All right. Looks like first year of the year.
All the packed house. All
that
fail.
No, not that yet. Okay. Okay. So the Rosh was like this. Says Yesh Bazeh Sod. Now the funny the thing is though in the beginning, I don't know if you remember in the introductions. So he said Agadata has a Sod and a Nigla, like a hidden meaning and then a revealed meaning. The revealed meaning doesn't mean the doesn't mean the literal meaning of the thing, but it means like knowledge that is understandable to everybody. So it is like the secrets of Torah. So he said he's not going to go into any of the sodos of the agadahs. So once he says that the sod here, that's not good for us because he's not going to explain what the sod is. But he will go into what's nigla. So we have to see if we can maybe get a little deeper and see if you can glimpse at the sod. But anyway, he said like this. Yesh bo zeh sod. Okay. Ukvar yodata shebo lohem zal, zichronom levrocho, v'chol mokom shenemar elokim midas hadin. Okay, so this is like a little bit of a review for us, because we did a lot of the, I got it this last year on the Shem Hashem, on Hashem versus Yukivaki versus Elokim. So he says over here, there is every time that Chazal say that wherever the Shem Hashem that's used is Elokim, that always implies Midas Adin, right? Because that's what Elokim means of power. Like in general, even in the Torah, it says the word Elohim and it means a judge. Vayavo Elo Elohim. Or there's a question on Elohim lo sekalel. Explain some means don't curse the judge. Right, or it says Harina Saticha Elohim Lefaro. Hashem says to Moshe, I made you an Elohim to Pharaoh. It doesn't mean it's not a word that intrinsically implies God. It's a borrowed term. Okay. So it implies, but so it's more like a midas hakadosh baruch hu. More like represents a certain action, certain way without that we relate to God, and God relates us through his action, and that's the midas harachamim, that midas hadin. The yud hey, that's midas harachamim. The heim kolim mina olam v'yada olam. Now with those two shemos, those two attributes, rachamim and din, span the entire range of possibility. Okay. She'i efshar li'olam heskayim rak b'shtei midos ha'elu ova lo b'din levad she'yesher li'olam l'skayim rak b'shtei midos elu. Means the world can only survive with these two midos. Okay, so that's what we did last year, and had a nice explanation of that. In other words, he explained that there's two. What is midas hadin and midas harachamim? So midas hadin means that man is judged strictly by his the actuality of his living up to the demands of God, of Torah. And you either are living properly or you're not living properly. And if you're not living properly, then you don't have a right to continue to exist. That's strict din. So the Rashba explained, if there was strict din, the world wouldn't last for more than a couple of moments. I mean, the human world wouldn't last, right? So that would be strict din. So why can't strict rachamim work? Why can't absolute rachamim work? It says absolute rachamim can't work either. Why? He goes, absolute rachamim means that everybody is given a pass on their failing. And it's true the world won't be destroyed, because rachamim allows the world to continue. But the purpose of creation will be destroyed. Because the purpose of the creation of Adam is to have a person, is to have a man that strives to attain true knowledge and reach the true his true purpose in existence, which is to be Makir Hashem. But if everybody who failed and sinned, there was never any type of onesh, then people would just never learn. It would be an impossible situation. They would never have a chance. You wouldn't have the introspection, you wouldn't have any type of tochacha. It'd be like raising a child with no tochacha at all. Right? So man is instinctual, has a strong instinctual element, and without some form of tochacha, some form of punishment or something to rein in the bad behavior, it would just lead to utter destruction. Oopsie. So, what happened here? Should let you do it, John.
I am doing it.
Oh, you are doing it.
Yep, okay. Got the whole thing.
Back up.
It's
interesting. Plato has a whole thing on that. And we were doing some dialogues a couple years ago. So he has like that. To not criticize is the worst, you know, harms a person. A person is acting badly, and you don't criticize them. You don't punish them, you know, that's their own destruction. The person who's acting badly should really want punishment. But that's hard to find such a person like that.
Although, you know, there's an expression, you learn more from your failures than from your successes.
That's right. Yeah, alright, so we're continuing. We're still in the Lama Gimel in the Rashi. So anyway, so he's saying that din alone wouldn't work because the world simply wouldn't exist physically, I mean the human world. And rachamim alone wouldn't work either, because it would subvert the purpose of creation. Man would continue to exist, but he would be completely overrun by his instinctual. It would be like the Dor HaMavo, like we were doing on Friday, right? But the Dor HaMavo says, V'yetzer lev ha'odam rak rak kol hayom. Right? V'yetzer machshavos levo rak rak kol hayom. That they had gone into such a state where their desires were just completely evil. And the Barbanel says, when a person reaches a certain level, that their whole thought process and all of their desires are for the evil, it's impossible to get back from that. So without a certain amount of din, you wouldn't ever be able to have mankind with the chance of living and existing as the in terms of a to fulfill that purpose of achieving Diyas Hashem. Because it's not a natural thing. It requires, like John says, failing and then correcting yourself. But if at every failure you had nothing to make you correct yourself, then, or no idea at all about the Schar Va'onesh, it would be impossible for man. That's like with David's, right, his son. He never criticized his son. That was very detrimental. So therefore he says that you need both of these midos. Okay, so he says that's why in Brias, Rashi has also measures. That initially it's just you have at the end of creation you have both shemos together, Hashem Elokim. That means Shem Mole al Olam Mole. The world in its full, the complete world with Adam, then it requires Hashem Elokim. Requires Din and Rachamim. And the Rashba explained that it's really like a mixture of Din and Rachamim. I don't know if you remember that, but. I think he says kale is the mixture of the two. Mm-hmm. But the mixture of the two means that we are guided now by a principle of rachamim and din. What does that mean? It means to say that strict din would mean we wouldn't have... It must be the daddy must be dead. I guess now we know how long his daddy lasts.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, we got John's backup. No, it says the battery is full. Oh, no.
He's
dying. He is dying, okay. We have a plug here somewhere.
Is the plug's that one?
It's the same plug.
Rechargeable battery?
The old one.
Up there.
Alright, we'll just use John's copy. So anyway, the new idea is that you're given...
You want to put it closer?
Sure.
That's fine. We'll pick it up.
What's the
matter? Someone have a black car parked across the street because someone broke into it and they got
the camera.
Can't hold them forever.
I think.
The
black camera?
Yeah.
Is that across
the
street?
Has a sign on it that says someone
oh, no,
broke into this car?
What? No.
Were you here, you parked here overnight?
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock in the morning?
And right in front.
You have a black car?
Yeah.
Right in front?
Yeah. Go check it out.
I'm sorry
about
that. Oh,
boy.
I'm holding a guy.
Somebody broke in last night, and apparently they're holding him and waiting. They put a note on
the
car.
Is that
legal?
Against his will?
Is this
like that situation with the kids?
Nah, not really.
What are we like?
You're kidnapping
bar part?
What's he
doing? Boy, that's impressive, huh?
Underground.
Coconut.
A lot of brain
getting closer.
Like,
John, that reminds me of Gary's famous story.
Which one? He has a lot of famous stories.
He told me a story a long time ago. He was in like Crown Heights or something, and there was a chapsum, and some guy grabbed someone's purse sign, you know, and someone screamed out, chapsum! And these giant, they just grab the guy.
Oh, it's good. And
they
very
bring
possible.
Him to the door, and they knock on the door, and this like giant chassid comes out and like breaks his arms or something. I don't know.
Whoa.
Yeah. You gotta ask him that story, because it's quite a story.
I remember that word, chapsum. Gotta remember that.
Never
what
is
that?
Grab him.
Yeah.
Grab him.
I'm just going to do that even if it's not stolen. If it's something I want, I'm going to be like,
just don't get the wrong guy, by the way.
That's, right.
That's where the lawyers come in.
So he's saying that the way that the world is really governed is a medium between Din and Rachamim. It means to say like this, that what does it mean a medium? What does it mean in between? It means to say that strict din would say if you're not actually living properly, you don't deserve to continue to exist. Okay? And rachamim says we don't care what you do. Laissez-faire. So
it's almost anarchy.
Right,
anarchy. Yeah.
Exactly. So din berachamim, or rachamim bedin, means to say that as long as, although you're not actually perfected now, you're not actually living correctly now, as long as that is your goal and you're working towards it and you recognize it as a good, you have the right to continue to exist in so that you'll have the ability to further that goal. You understand? Strict din would say you either are there now or you're not there now. Rachamim says there's no goal. Din and Rachamim together means to say there still is din because unless you value the truth and unless you value the goal, you don't have a right to exist. But the Rachamim says you can continue even though you don't have it at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're guided by that as a principle, and you're working towards it, and you value it, that's enough to allow you to continue to exist. So, a chote, when he does tshuva, he says, I recognize my mistake. He doesn't mean he's perfected now. This doesn't necessarily mean he's perfected, but he's allowed to continue. That's a din. That's what he calls the mixture. I think he said that's the shame kale, because there's a pasuk that says kale, Hashem, Elokim, all three shemos. I don't know if you remember that. We were doing that last year. One, the Christian said that proves the Trinity.
Yeah.
One of those things.
That's not where they got it from, though.
No.
No, they actually they got it. You think about it, Keter Torah, Keter Kuna, Keter Machus. Keter Torah is Hashem. Keter Kuna is the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Keter Machus is the Son.
That's where they got it from.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complex than that. The entryway to the Beis Hamikdash, remember, was it was Yachin Boaz with Shalom.
Uh-huh.
So Shalom was provided by Hashem. Yachin stood for the kahuna, and
uh-huh.
but Paul didn't really understand the way this stuff worked. It was like, it's like the kahuna represents God's religious authority on earth, and the malchus represents his temporal authority on earth.
Uh-huh.
But there's only one God.
Uh-huh.
They didn't quite get that.
They didn't get that. Yeah, it's true.
They weren't there for that cheer.
No. But they always look for things in the Torah that have some represent something like that. So it's at the end of this book, actually. He has a very nice argument with the Christian, how he explains it. So anyway, so he says like this. So what is this introduction here? What is this so that he's talking about over here? Why is he mentioning this here? It's not really totally clear why he's mentioning this over here. But it would seem because the Shemos Hashem over here are Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Kael Deos Hashem, that's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And Pe'ulas Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, that's the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So he seems to be implying over here that Mikdash and Das are associated with the Rachamim. Okay?
Doesn't Das have both?
Well, Kael is not Elohim. Kael is that mixture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a good question. So he pulls it out a little bit further now. It's like this. Umi shechananu Hashem yisborach deya. Someone who God has granted knowledge, yeda v'yaskil amitas mashehu b'koch haseichel ha'anushi lahasig ba'amitoso yisborach u'b'midoso. That's a mouthful. Let me break it down a little bit. So then he says, he who God has granted, chonein das, right? God has granted das, knowledge, he'll know, yeda v'yaskil, he'll know and he'll understand, the amitas, the truth of mashehu b'koach haseichel hanushi lahasik. He'll understand the truth of what is in the koach haseichel, that was the potential of the intelligence. He'll be able to know what is in the potential of human intelligence lahasik to reach, to understand, b'amitas yisbarach hu b'midosav. So now he's saying that when God gives a person deya, it's really a potential that a person is getting. You understand? You know, when we say God gives das, that doesn't mean he's giving us the fully formed thought. But he's chonin another das means the intelligence. And one who God has granted intelligence to, so he should know and he should understand, he should think into it and use his mind to the potential that he has to understand God and his midos. V'yeda oz lehesalech b'darkei ha'avoda u'b'mitzvos ha'torah k'tikunan l'shem po'alon yisborach. And then he'll know how to go in the darkei ha'avoda. It's interesting, Harry. He'll know, once he has a certain amount of knowledge of God and God's midos, then he'll know how to go in the way of avoda and the mitzvos of the Torah. Properly. What does he mean properly? L'shem po'alon yisbarach. L'shma, for the sake of their creator. For the sake of God. Interesting idea. He's saying two things. And you have to, once you know God with your knowledge, then you're roi to do mitzvos and avoda. Then you're roi to properly do mitzvos and avoda, because then you can really do them l'shem osan. Without the idea of God, you can't really do a proper avoda. It's like dalif ne'mi ata omed. You can't really have a proper avoda without some idea of God. Now, let's go a little further. It brings it a little further. Ke Omro. Now, I've never seen this interpretation of this pasuk. Very interesting interpretation of the pasuk. Can you get me, do we have back there a Yirmiyahu? Jeremiah? It should be right here, Danny. Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's a very well-known pasuk. You read it, one of the Tainus, I think. So like this, on Tisha B'Av, he says, the pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmasa, Al Yishalel Gibor B'Gurasa, Al Yishalel Asher B'Asho. So a Chacham shouldn't be proud and praise himself for his Chachma, and the strong person shouldn't praise himself for his strength, and the Ashir shouldn't praise himself for his wealth. Ki in Bezos Yishalel HaMishalel. This is what the one who gives praise to about himself or is proud of himself should be proud of. Haskel v'yadoa osi. Be wise and know me. Okay. Ki ani Hashem. Ose chesed mishpa utzidoka baretz. Ki ba'ele chofatzti no'um Hashem. Okay, it's a very powerful pasuk. That I'd like to take up a little bit in the Rambam because he has a slightly different interpretation. But here's the pasuk again. He's saying like this, right? Get it? Ki in bezos yishal amasal. Who should be? How should one who is proud of himself be proud? What should he really be proud for? Haskel v'yadoa osi. Be wise and know me. Ki ani Hashem, because I am Hashem. Ose chesed mishpa utzdaka baris. Who does chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah in the land, ki be'elech hafatzti no'um Hashem. Okay, now listen to how he interprets the pasuk. It's interesting. So he interprets it like this. Ki in bezos yishalel ha-mishalel, haskel v'yadoa osi, ki ani Hashem ose chesed, ki be'elech hafatzti no'um Hashem. Ratzel omar, mi sheyaskel v'yeda osi, right, that's haskel v'yadoa osi, Oz v'yaskil ki ani ose chesed. So he's putting it together. That what? Haskil v'yadoa osi ki ani Hashem. If he knows me, right, then ose chesed mishpat zar. Then he'll also know, then he'll also be maskil that I am an ose chesed. He'll also know that I am an ose chesed mishpat zdaka baretz. Ve'oz titochein lo ha'avoda ve'ha'esek b'mitzvosai. And then he'll be able to do properly the avoda and the mitzvos. Ki yasok bohem b'kavona amitis. Ki be'elech hafatzdi. That's how he ties in ki be'elech hafatzdi. That what? So what's he trying to say over here? It's a little bit, seems a little bit forced into the pasuk. I mean, where does he get into this idea of osa mitzvos and of doing avoda and esa and osek b'mitzvosai? But that's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, umi she'ein bodeya lo titochin lo mitzvah o avoda. Because if a person doesn't have any das, it's not possible for him to do mitzvos or avoda. It's not possible for him to do mitzvos or avoda. Vehu omrom lamala mizeh. And that's what it says above this. Gedola Dea. Now he's trying to bring it back into the drasha. Shenitna betechilas. There's a drasha before this. Gedola Dea. Shenitna betechilas birkos brachos shochol. The first bracha in the Shemone Esrei is about das. Right? Lefishi kolelas kola brachos. Why is das the first bracha in the Shemone Esrei of the middle section? He says because it really includes all of the brachos. How? Ve'efshar, or it's a little different here, so ve'ech yoshuv v'yischaret al molo. How could a person do tshuva and have regret on his sin? V'yavakish ha-machila o yischanein al tzorkov hu eino yodea lemi. Lo yichavin be'emes klum. How could a person doesn't have das, doesn't know who, how could a person do tshuva and have regret and ask machila about or plead about his needs if he doesn't know to who? Lo yichavin be'emes klum. This has no kavana. In truth, that's no kavana at all. So in other words, he's saying without das, without having das first, none of your actions can have a true meaning to them, because your das is what really establishes your reality. I mean, what a person's with your knowledge, with your intelligence, that's how you really establish the reality that you're existing in, and all the things that you're doing are really, you're trying to. I mean, man is. What's interesting about man is there's a difference between what man knows. There's a difference between what man knows and what man, actually is. Okay, and I think this is what he's trying to explain, that a person can recognize an idea, he can recognize a truth, but just das alone is not enough. There also needs to be mitzvos and avoda. Mitzvos and avoda are given to man because man is not just an intellectual being. If man was just an intellectual being, then whatever his das is, that would be the end. That would be who he is, right? If man was purely intellectual, then we could say, well, the content, whatever his das, whatever his knowledge is, that's how we, the person that he is. Like the Rambam says about the malachim. He says there are different levels of malachim. So what does it mean, different levels of malachim, higher and higher? So they're not physical beings, only one is higher than the other. He says, no, I mean, they're just entities of das, but they have different levels of knowledge. So the ofanim and the chayos hakodesh, they have different levels of knowledge. But in a purely intellectual type of a being, so you can define the intellectual being by the quality of the knowledge that they have.
Well, that's also where Bechira comes in.
That's true. That's true, exactly. So man has a different situation. He might have knowledge, he might have a certain recognition of reality, but he also is torn by his desires and his that comes from the physical. Right, like we're discussing on Friday, right? Let's say, "Vayinochem Hashem Asheosa Asa Adam Ba'aretz." So the Barbano says, "What was it? What was the regret, so to speak, that man has the spirituality as the nefesh, but the problem was he's Ba'aretz. The nefesh is in the land, which has all the desires and all the draws of the physical. So." That was the difficulty. The difficulty was that man wasn't able to overcome those desires and those temptations of the physical. So although a person has the knowledge, like John says, there is a bechira element, and he could go wrong, but even if he wants to do right,
yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make, even if he wants to do right, it's not enough just the content of his thoughts. He also must do actions that engage his body and actually temper his desires and actually bring his whole being into line with his knowledge. That's avoda and mitzvah. That's what avoda and mitzvah really are. That a person might know it's right, but how do you bring everything, how do you bring your whole body, how you say, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, how do you do avoda b'yetzer ha-tov, b'yetzer ha-ra? How do you do it with all of you? That's only if you need a regimen. You need to engage all of you in actions that are part of your mind, into actions that reflect your das. Otherwise, you'll live a divided life. You'll have you might go to the base medrash and learn, and then like other like Christians, otherwise they go to church and they're the mafia. They go to church and they're devout, and then they leave and they exactly. So they have to be a whole person. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, but that's really what mitzvos and avoda are for, to bring in line the person's guf with his das. So therefore, he's saying, without atachone lodam das, without das first, all mitzvah and avoda, what are they bringing you closer to? It's not just the actions; those don't. If a person has in mind an old man in the sky and he's doing all these mitzvahs, he's not bringing himself any closer to any perfection. So, that's what he means over here. that Haskel v'yadoa osi, that's first. And then you also have to have knowledge of Midos Hashem. That's how the Rambam interprets it also. Midos Hashem. That you should also know, ki ani ose chesed. You should know that God is an ose chesed. And then you'll have you'll be able to do now avoda and osek and mitzvos. But if you don't have backdrop of knowledge, then it's not possible to be involved in Torah mitzvah. And that's why das is the first bracha, because without das, everything else is going to be wasted. The alkein omru she'eno roi l'rachim olav, because that goes back to midas hadin and midas harachamim. The only reason why we employ rachamim is because the person, although he's failing now, has the potential to improve, because they're guided by the right ideas. But if a person has no das, then where's the rachmanis? What's the rachmanis for? So that they can continue living like an idiot. What's the rachmanis for? They're not involved in pursuing knowledge. They don't have das, even the capability of growing. Then there's no inyan of rachmanis. V'alkein omru, this is what the Medrash means. Gedola dea shenitna bein shtei osios halalu. What does it mean? What does it mean that dea is between the two osios? Listen to this. This is very interesting. Chloma. She'im hadea, with the dea, yasig la'amitas hadea v'hamidos kefi ma sheyesh b'seichel hanushi lahasig. Okay, that's like he said before. With the Deya, he'll be able to perceive the truth of the Deya. I guess he means God over there. I'm not sure what he means. And the Midos, and God's Midos, according to what a person is able to understand. But listen to this. Mipnei Shehi Nisuna Besocham. Because it is placed within it. Ratzolomar, what does he mean? Shehi maseges osam. He maseges osam. Meaning the Deya is masig them. Shehanoson besocha davar yodeo umasigo. He's trying to get down to the medrash, the literal medrash. The medrash says what? Deya is between the two shemos. So what is that implying, that it's between the Shemos? What's the implication of saying it's between the Shemos? So he's saying something that is within another thing is naturally has the ability to understand it. He says, Hanosun besocha davar, something that is within another thing, yodo umasigo. Okay, what does that mean?
Literally, what is that? It's a nice marshal. What does that mean? Deya is not placed between. I mean, it's true. The pasuk has Hashem Hashem, Deya, and Hashem Hashem. So it's a Hashem Hashem sandwich around Deya. But what does that mean? What is he trying to? He's trying to point out something that's important over here. I'll read again. V'alkein omru shegedola dea shenitna bein shtei osios alolo. Klomar, what does it mean? It's nitna bein shtei osios. She'ima dea, with the dea, yasig la mitas hadea v'hamidos kefi ma sheyesh b'seichel hanushi lahasig. You'll understand, with your das, you'll be able to understand the truth of the dea and the midos according to what a human intelligence can achieve. Why? Mipnei shehi nisuna besocham. Because it is placed between them, within them. It's masig osam. Shehi maseges osam. The das of a person perceives God's existence and God's midos. Why? Shehanosam besocha davar yodo umasigo. But that's a mashal. That's a mashal. So I think what he's trying to explain is like this. He's trying to explain that how does the person attain knowledge of God? How does he attain knowledge of God? Yeah. How does he attain it? Shehu shehanosun besocha davar yod o umasigo.
So he's trying to explain to you. Ken, help me out here.
I don't know. I was just thinking that this book obviously wasn't put between two OCOs.
In other words, he's trying to express the idea that it's with Das alone that we really reach God. In other words, God is only something that we can attain through our Das. A relationship with God, and you know, if something is like an artifact, or like an archaeologist, so he'll have to, in order to retain that, he'll have to go and travel and dig and hunt for things, and that's how he'll attain that object, right? We say lo v'shamayim hi, lo me'vrayam hi. That's not the that the das, the ultimate acquisition of that we're going for, really, we have within us the very thing that is Masig Hashem. We only have, in order to achieve the true purpose of man, you don't have to go outside of yourself to get something. You have to develop your own the das that's given to you. It's an internal, it's intrinsic. With developing your knowledge properly, memela, you will come to be able to see God properly. It's not like an acquisition of something else. It's noson besocham. It means, say, the full development of human knowledge to the proper degree carries with it this proper understanding of God. Yeah, John.
You know, that would seem especially true because you can't have direct knowledge of God.
Right.
There is no
right. Exactly.
God doesn't. He relates to us anthropomorphically. We see the effects of God's actions and we relate to them.
Right.
You see, without Deya, you can only see what's in front of you.
That's correct.
And you could therefore never perceive what Deya allows you to perceive, the results.
That's right. And Deya is the process of uncovering the realities behind the phenomenon that you see. That's really what Deya does. Like the Ram says, the Telem Elokim is a faculty that strips away accidental qualities. It looks at an object and it can see what's its ikar, what really is, what's the truth behind its existence, what's its real form. Yeah, exactly.
What about developing the other quality of God's, which is Rachamim?
So, but that's all through Deya, he's saying. He's saying, like John was saying, you can see different actions, but without Deya, it's
then it wouldn't be real.
That's right. You would just be looking at physical. You would just be looking at
results without cause.
It's like the Gemara says: if you learn Mishnayos without Gemara, you don't know what you're talking about, because the Mishnayos isn't just results. And the Gemara of a whole process of Talmud Torah, of Torah Shabbat Peh, and there are even contradictions here and there. And the Gemara is really understanding how it came to be. And it could show you that this is not a steer, because this one is this case, this one is that. Without Deya, you wouldn't be able to unravel something like that. So, but he's saying it's Noson Besocha Davar, means to say that is our Tzelem Elokim, is exactly what we have that is closest to the kind of existence of God that we can unravel, that we can perceive it. That is the faculty that is noson besoch haosios, that is designed and its nature is to be able to perceive the depths that a man can perceive of God. That is the faculty. That's why in Bezos Yisrael HaMashalel, that's the faculty. That's what the Ram explains in the beautiful explanation. If you have a chance to take a look at the Ram, it says the Navi is going through the four perfections of man. There are four types of perfection. There's a perfection of your property, your possessions. There's a perfection of your body. There's a perfection of your faculties, your intellectual faculties and midos. Mm-hmm. And then there's a perfection of the actual idea of your ideas. So the Navi goes through each one, and he's telling a person, don't be proud. He starts with the highest and goes down to the lowest. But Al Yisal Chacham B'Chacham also, meaning a person is just, he's smart, he has a good intelligence, he has good midos, he's not, that's one. Al Yisal HaGibor B'Gvur also, guy is, feels proud of his body, he feels proud to accomplish something. Al Yisal Osher B'Ashro. So the Rambam says, truth of the matter is, the wealth is the furthest remove from the person himself. Because when a person gains a lot of money, or loses a lot of money, nothing happened to him. It's completely out external to him as an individual. Like Ram said, a person can be a king one day and a slave the next day, and nothing happened to him. It's just a matter of things around him happened. You know what I mean? But it doesn't, all the perfection that a person gets in his property when he makes money doesn't redound to him. It just, all of that perfection is just in the possession. Your body is more real than your money. That is more you. At least that's your goof. And your intelligence and midos are even more you. But what is the ultimate yishalel is your the content of your thoughts, the realities that you hold to be true. That's the ultimate ki im bezos yishalel mishalel. Only in that's really what man can be proud of, that he is in actually, that's the perfection of what you know and what you think is the one perfection that goes down to your essence. Everything else is accidental. Even intelligence and midos is accidental. Your body is accidental. Your money is all accidental. The only perfection is the fourth perfection that really changes who you are intrinsically. Right? Your perception of the truth makes you a different person. That's why it's roy to be mishalo. It's interesting. Ki im bezos yishalo ha mishalo. Funny expression, right? Like, should he be mishalo? Should he not be mishalo? Like, if you're going to be mishalo about this. But it seems, though, that it is proper to be, like, it's impossible not to be a mishalo. Person always, whatever he's doing, he has to feel he's doing what's good for himself. Always. Even attaining perfection. Person has to be attaining it for himself and be satisfied and proud and happy with his accomplishment. But anyway, so that's what he says over here. That's the daya is nitna ben shnei shemos. And now the mikdash. He says the mikdash is the mochon l'shivto. It's where God, it's like the shechina rests. V'hu bonoi l'kavul teferos. The mikdash is built for honor and glory. V'kelov inyonov rumozim l'inyonim sichliyim. I don't know. He has a theory. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't really know. I don't think he explains it really. One of these sodos. He has this idea that the kelim of the mikdash represents some deep concepts. Okay. Kidama the ro'o v'osa b'tavniso mashirata mare bahar. There was some form, right? So you should do them the way you saw the form in the heart. So he's saying that implies there's some deeper, not just a kli, but it has some deep sod, some remez associated with the kli. Visham, meaning in the base of Mikdash, more ha-Torah umavine ha-das. In the base of Mikdash resides the Sanhedrin and the Kohanim. They are supposed to be the teachers. Umisham shoavim ruach ha-Kodesh. From the base of Mikdash is drawn ruach ha-Kodesh. Omer shehu gadol. So what does it mean? So the medrash over here says the base of mikdash is great. Shenitan bein shtei osios halalu. It's between the two names. Umishi yeshlo dea yeda v'yaskil mavinoso. So he says now if someone has intelligence, he'll be able to understand the forms. Yodea v'yaskil mi binoso from his knowledge. I'm sorry. If someone has knowledge, he'll be able to understand from his bina, from his wisdom. Right? What's bina? Bina means to say that you lome dover mitoch dover. Right? Bina means that you take what you know and you're able to derive new ideas from it. That's the process of bina. Where you're able to, the Rashi says, yodea dover mitoch dover. You can learn something. You can have chachma. You can learn something. But Bina is greater. Bina means you're able to take what you learned and see the implications and derive further truth from that. So if a person has Deya, he'll know and he'll be wise, mi binoso, kol masha yasig mitziurei beis hamikdash. He'll be able to derive on his own everything that you could derive from the forms of the beis hamikdash, from the designs of the beis hamikdash. V'chol masha yoruhu morei haTorah shirsham. And he'll also be able to derive with his das everything that the chachamim would teach him in the beis hamikdash. That's why it says, kol shiyesh lo Deya, kilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yomav. That's what it means. If he has knowledge, he has wisdom, he has understanding, it's as if the beis hamikdash was created in his day. Lomar, shemidaito, from his own das, yasig ma mimore hadeya v'atoro mitziyure beis hamikdash b'yos hamikdash boni. He'll be able to understand from his own das everything that the beis hamikdash would be able to convey to him. Meaning to say that the whole beis hamikdash is really just a tool to help a person gain more knowledge. But if a person really has the knowledge, then for him it's like the beis hamikdash was already built. Because for him, he has the results, he himself could have the results of the beis hamikdash. It's like the interpretation that Chazal say that Avram kept all the mitzvahs. Means to say, so I think one of the first mitzvahs means to say, not that he literally kept the mitzvahs, but like we were saying before, avoda, keeping the mitzvahs, gives you a certain perfection. Yeah. He had all of that perfection already. Ukeinyin she'omru ba'avraham avinu, olav ha'shalom. Not exactly sure what he's trying to convey with this last line, but he says it's like what they say about Avraham avinu, she'shtei koliyosov na'asu lo kishnei yoatzim. His two kidneys were like his two advisors, or milamdim, or his teachers. Shehayu novos uman vios lo chokhma. I mean, the kolios sometimes is used in the psukim to have like to be like a faculty of thought, but he means to say that what? I'm not sure what he's trying to express with this idea.
A gut feeling.
Not a gut feeling. not a gut feeling. But that your das could be like an external advisor too. It's possible to have a mushal of your das that, like, you can be self-taught. It's like it sounds like a contradictory kind of an idea, like self-taught, right? Who's teaching who?
You don't know it. How did you teach?
You don't know it. How did you teach yourself? But he's saying, that's what he's trying to say before, that it's within the Deya that you should be Masig Hashem. It's already Nosum Besocha Osios. That the proper development of your Das naturally will bring to you greater and greater ideas.
Well, it's interesting because the kidneys are what filters the guf. It's really the filtering process. You think that your brain is a filtering process as well, right, in terms of deriving. You take all the chazrai and you hopefully develop. No, you develop a good idea from that. You know, there's a lot of shtus.
Right.
So the kidney, it's interesting that you use a mushal, but kidneys are also a filter.
That's an interesting idea. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. That was nice, right?
If you give me your email, I can probably.
Sam, out of 10. Yeah. Sam, you want to tell him he'll send you this? Maybe you can clean it up a little.
I thought my window was broken or something like that. Apparently, this guy.